I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, the extreme right is gaining ground and power in Germany, fueled by anti-immigration rhetoric, hardcore nationalism, social media, and the world's richest man, Elon Musk. PBS's Frontline investigates the surge of support for the ADF in Germany and why this brand of nationalism is swelling to a level not seen since World War II. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
A donation comes in many forms: a sustaining membership, a one-time gift, even a home, land, or commercial property. Donating property is a great way to give back, and you may even claim a tax deduction. Get the process started today. Call 844-277-HOME or visit tpr.careasy.org/real-estate-donation.
Downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. A brand of extreme right-wing ultra-nationalistic policies are gaining ground and power in Germany. The factors leading to the rise of the AfD, Alternative for Deutschland, tracks with the rise of MAGA in the United States. In fact, we see some of the same players in both theaters, including Elon Musk, J.D. Vance, and Russia's disinformation campaign machine. PBS's Frontline has been investigating these developments. You can watch their most recent documentary on the topic, The Rise of Germany's New Right, on YouTube and also on PBS's Frontline website. It aired earlier this month on PBS. We're joined now by Evan Williams, a Frontline correspondent covering extremism in Germany. And Evan, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks very much for having me, David. Good to be here.
So the AfD has become the second largest party in Germany's parliament following the 2025 federal elections, securing 20.8% of the vote, up from about 10% of the vote in 2021. So what is driving AfD's rapid rise from a protest party to Germany's second largest political force?
There's a number of things that are happening, and I think we're seeing this across many Western countries. I mean, first of all, there is a great disquiet among people. They're feeling disengaged with mainstream parties who have been running Germany since the Second World War. They're feeling left behind by price rises, cost of living, inflation. They're worried about, obviously, war in Europe. It's very close to Germany, what's going on in Ukraine. And there's a great deal of insecurity, particularly among younger people, young voters between 18 and 24, often first-time voters. And they're being attracted by a very successful campaign on social media by the far-right AfD. And in this campaign, they don't often talk about politics. They just talk about how you can make life better. It's dance parties, it's attractive young people going out socializing, and then later on they start inserting their sort of politics. So there's a number of things happening, but it's definitely a massive surge towards the far right.
Our phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment, did you see the documentary when it aired earlier this month on PBS? I have questions and comments about the rise of the far right, not just in Germany, but it's happening across Europe, and we're seeing it here in the United States as well. The number to call in is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. So in the documentary that you helped produce there, we see Elon Musk. He's at the very beginning of the documentary. He makes an appearance at an AfD rally of, you know, his giant head is there on the video screen. He pipes in remotely. He gives a stirring speech telling people that they should be proud to be German and that they should fight, fight, fight. How effective, how important was Elon Musk's participation?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, David. These comments and the way in which it was delivered had a major impact for the AfD. This is in the run-up to the federal election in Germany. So this was in, I think, early January when this occurred, January 6th. And the impact is two or threefold. First of all, and I spoke to the AFD about this, to politicians and to analysts, and said, you know, what is the real impact of this? Okay, here's this guy, you know, with a video message coming into a party congress. Does it really make any difference? And it does, for a couple of main reasons. One, Elon Musk is, you know, the richest guy in the world. He represents, this is what the AFD told me, he's the richest guy in the world. He represents innovative thinking, technology, the future. All of a sudden, our party, which used to be seen very much is deemed by the German domestic intelligence as extremist. We'll get onto that. We're all of a sudden the party of the future. And so it had a massive impact, first of all, to normalize the party. Second of all, to attract people who might not have been supporting them, but then think, well, this is okay. If Elon Musk thinks they're okay, then they must be okay. And also it gave the party workers a great deal of confidence. And a really important aspect of what he said in that video call was, as you mentioned, he talked about being proud of being German and let's get away from the guilt of the past. Now, that makes sense if you just look at it in black and white. Of course, nobody should be guilty of their culture. But in Germany, there is a particular what they call remembrance culture, where it is they are trying not to forget the Nazi past, not as an act of shame, but as an act of making sure that they adhere to liberal, democratic and values and human rights. And he was seen to undermine that cultural approach to Germany's history.
Elon Musk was particularly noted for helping Donald Trump get elected this last time. He funneled millions and millions of dollars into his Get Out the Vote campaign in the swing vote states. After Donald Trump was elected back to the White House, he got into controversy when he was shown on stage doing a gesture that many interpreted as a Nazi salute. And then he denied it, said it wasn't a Nazi salute. But looking at his role working to bolster the AFD, does that denial of it wasn't a Nazi salute, does that kind of make it weak?
I think Elon Musk, from a German point of view, is seen to be a great supporter of the far-right ideology. Whether or not it was a Nazi salute, you're quite right, we don't know, he denied it. But the messaging that gets out there through Elon Musk's own comments seem to enhance and support the far-right view of the world. And the comments he made into that party congress are a very good example of that, because by diminishing, and people we speak to in the film, including one head of domestic intelligence, points out that it's not really up to an American citizen to tell Germans how they should or should not remember the Nazi past of Germany. And Elon Musk went on to say that everybody should be supporting the AFD. He called them the Germany's only hope for the future. All of this messaging, backing a party which German domestic intelligence has deemed officially as an extremist threat to democracy in the country, sends this messaging that it's all okay, and I think it had a dramatic impact. I think it had a big impact, particularly on young people.
And Elon Musk does own Twitter, or X, as he likes to call it. Was that social media platform influential in that election?
X, he used it twice. Actually, he did. He also did a 1-hour interview with the head of the AFD, or the co-leader of AFD, Alice Weidel, just at the turn of the year. So very early in the year, actually late last year, just before the election as well. And what happens with X? And I spoke to some experts who are studying this. Once you've got Elon Musk involved in sort of an act on X like this, his accounts are then amplified by thousands of other accounts that then reamplify the messaging. So it's an incredibly powerful tool within the sphere of X. I should say that X in itself is not seen to be as broad a tool in Germany. There's not that many people following X as there might be, say, on TikTok or Instagram, that sort of thing at the moment. But it still had an impact because it created news. It created headlines. People went to look for it. And then it got retweeted and it got sent around. So,
right.
Yeah, it had an impact.
All right, so we're going to take a break here. I do want to talk about Russia's disinformation warfare campaign in the social media area when we come back from the break. The number is 833-877-8255. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
In Germany, a political earthquake is reshaping one of Europe's most stable democracies. The far-right Alternative for Germany, the AfD, has surged to become the country's second-largest party, winning historic support across the former eastern and a part of Germany and challenging the foundations of Germany's post-war political order. The gains come at a time where there's deep anxiety in Europe, economic strain, the war in Ukraine, there's a migration crisis, frustration with the rising prices, and frustration with mainstream parties. And while the AfD presents itself as a populist alternative, Germany's domestic intelligence agencies classify it as a right-wing extremist endeavor, citing anti-democratic rhetoric, ties to extremist networks, and proposals that critics say would undermine civil rights and the rule of law. There was a new Frontline documentary. It's available online for viewing. It examines this pivotal moment. How did Germany's new right rise so quickly? What are the forces that are fueling it? What does it mean for Europe and democracies around the world, including the United States? We're having a conversation with Frontline correspondent Evan Williams, who traveled across Germany reporting and documenting this story. So, Evan Williams, there is this agency, the Social Design Agency. It is a Russian disinformation facility of some sort. What are they doing?
Yeah, the Social Design Agency is a marketing organization. You can think of it that way in Russia, in Moscow. It's historically had very close ties with the Kremlin. So it does commercial work, but it also does political work. And it does political work for the Russian administration. It's been found, it's been accused of running an influence campaign in the United States, where they created, they were actually allegedly paying influencers quite a lot of money to push lines that were being created by the SDA in the run-up to a number of elections in the United States. It's also been accused and has been sanctioned by the United States Treasury Department and also by the European Union for running what's called fake news sites. So what's called doppelganger, where they create a fake BBC or Texas Public Radio site, or any, I mean, they haven't done that, but anything like that. A legitimate organization, they'll try and recreate a news site that looks legitimate. They'll push out a fake news disinformation story that serves their goals, and they've been caught doing that. So the SDA has been actively involved, we discovered, in the course of making this film, in also creating a huge amount of disinformation on social media in particular. And this involves pretending to be certain types of people, posting messages of concern, often supporting the far right in Germany, France, and other countries in Europe, often with a very anti-Ukraine message, but also very pro-far right messaging in these countries, setting up all sorts of messaging and posts that somehow support the far right messaging. And they pick up on things you've already mentioned there, particularly on fanning the fear of immigrants and immigration and Muslims in particular. And this feeds into the far right rhetoric and feeds into their position of creating fear among among voters that migrants are coming here. They're going to take your job. They're going to stab you in the alley. They're going to, you know, do terrible things to women. All of this stuff is on social media that these guys have been pushing out. So they are tied, and we found in the documentary, in the course of our journalism, they have been they were reporting directly to the head of propaganda in the Kremlin, who's the right-hand man of President Putin. So this whole process of supporting the far right in Europe is a Russian administration, a presidential administration project, and they're doing it because they think the far right, and we know they are, is very anti-centrist European Union. They're anti a block of resistance to Russian ideas, and they're also very against continuing support in Ukraine. So we are seeing an ideological battle going on in Europe and in the United States, actually. And the SDA is one of many tools being used by the Russians to pursue that.
How effective are they in shaping public opinion, particularly among young voters?
Yeah, it's a really hard question to answer, David. In fact, everybody we met, I asked that exact question. Like, okay, they're doing this thing. We can quantify it. The reason we knew about them is because I interviewed a wonderful investigative journalist in Estonia, Martin Lane, who got hold of 410 documents from within the SDA, which basically outlined their entire media strategy, particularly in the run-up to the European Union elections in 2024. So we've got the proof of what they're trying to do. So the impact is interesting. It's very difficult for us to say, did it create an electoral advantage for any far-right parties? Because we don't know. We have to get into the heads of so many voters to say, you know, did you feel this way before you saw this material or did you not? It's very hard to quantify in a very empirical sort of scientific way. But it was pointed out to me, these elections in Europe it's very minor party, very, very small party, sort of often coalitions are formed. It's not like the States where, you know, you've got a very much, two-party sort of battle. There are parties, the vote is fragmented, where you might have a party with 20-30% of the vote actually leading a coalition. And if you can swing a vote by, say, 5-10% to a victory for a far-right party, then you've got a victory. And they actually say that in their documents, that that this percentage that we're talking about is what they're actually after. You don't need very much of a swing to get a far-right party into a position of power. And so we can say we know what they're doing, we know what they're trying to do, and you can look at the electoral successes of the far-right across Europe, and the two things are happening at the same time. It's not the only reason, but I think we can say with some confidence it is one of the reasons.
So one reason why this is so disturbing or alarming, worth paying attention to, is because of the history of Germany with the National Socialist, the Nazi Party, and Adolf Hitler. He used a very similar message when he rose to power. He's telling people, you don't have to be ashamed to be German. You can be proud to be German, because they lost in World War I. And he was using that messaging to really find excitement and unite his, get enough people behind him so that he can be elected. And, you know, he didn't have a majority of votes, but he was able to become chancellor with just a sliver of the population and then declare a national emergency and take over entirely and outlaw democracy. Do people think that's what's going to happen here?
Well, you mentioned the Domestic Intelligence Agency, and the Domestic Intelligence Agency in Germany is a very unique German institution that was created after World War II to monitor the rise of extremism, particularly far-right extremism, and to prevent the return of anything like the Nazis. And they basically have declared, they've been monitoring the AfD for years. They've collected enough information and intelligence on their real views and beliefs to take it to a court, to have the court declare them, yes, we agree, this is an extremist threat to democracy. And so it's not us saying this or anybody else. It's the domestic intelligence who've issued a 1,000-page report on the evidence of why this party is a threat to the rights of citizens, as you pointed out, and to democracy itself. Because if they get into a position where they could actually sort of use democratic institutions to start changing democratic institutions, then that's what the fear is. And I've spoken to senior AfD leaders in East Germany in particular, and one of the first things they would do if they got into power is to remove the ability of domestic intelligence to monitor the far right. So we already see a clearly enunciated plan to erode democratic institutions. So nobody's saying that they are necessarily going to be Adolf Hitler or the Nazis again, but there is certainly enough concern about what they, how they feel about the current German situation and the current German institutions for them to be declared an extremist threat. And this is the point we're at right now. Again, one of the domestic intelligence people we spoke to in the film said, you know, our job is to sort of warn people. We can't, we're just telling them this is happening. And yet the support for the AfD keeps growing. And this is the concern in Germany. What does this really mean? Where will this go?
Is this a threat to NATO?
Quite possibly, because the far right, the AfD in Germany, is very pro-Russian. They are pro-Russian because, well, for a number of reasons, but they basically they
well, they took money from Russia, didn't they?
There hasn't been actually, interestingly, the far right in France took money from Russia. You're quite right. Actually, it was a 9 million euro loan. Actually, possibly more than one. And we know that there are a number of AfD senior politicians who are under investigation for accepting Russian cash to push Russian lines. The investigation is yet to be determined. But yes, Russia is sending out cash. It's more ideological, I think. They feel like, let's deal with Russia. It's our neighbor. We can all make money. We can get the energy. We can reduce the costs of business and industry. You know, there's a real sort of Eastern Europe sort of pro-Russian sentiment within the party, which would, if they were in power in any way, in a coalition or otherwise, they would be very much looking to end German, and they've said this, to end German support and sending arms to Ukraine. So instantly you have a change in the European security arrangement. And I think there would be a very severe undermining of what NATO represented in response to any Russian moves, particularly in the Baltics or anywhere like that. And that is a major concern of people who are watching this very closely.
Vice President J.D. Vance was in Munich in February speaking at a security event, and he was very aggressive in saying that Germany should be more accepting of the AfD.
Indeed, he did. And I mean, he pointed out, to the shock of many Germans, that there was no room for what he called the firewall, the Brandmauer. The firewall is a convention, a political convention, where mainstream parties or all other parties agree that they will not go into a coalition or share power with the far-right AfD for the very reasons that we've been discussing. And J.D. Vance got up in Munich only a couple of weeks away from the federal election itself and said there's no room for firewalls, that you've got to listen to the people. Now, it's a very interesting point, because supporters of the AfD will say he's absolutely right. This is our this is democracy. We have a point of view. 20% of the German population now supports the AfD. Why can't we be part of power? We're the second biggest party in parliament now. We should be part of a coalition, you know. And from a purely democratic point of view, you would say that sounds absolutely right. The problem with that is, what sort of views are you then bringing into power? And in the German context, as you pointed out, David, you know, this really means something, and it's starting to mean something in many other countries as well. So it was seen as another endorsement, but what was really, really important was it was an endorsement from a senior member of the US administration, and that was unprecedented in the German context.
So they see a real connection to Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, MAGA in the United States.
They do. I mean, people see that as an endorsement. They see that as an endorsement of what people might, what some commentators call a civilizational battle. They see MAGA and the U.S. administration supporting and amplifying, let's call them populist nationalists in Europe. far-right parties in Europe. You know, there's a slight complication in France.
Right. So it doesn't seem like this is contained to Germany. This is definitely spreading across Europe and even over the pond. Here, there are some elements. Evan Williams, thank you so much. Frontline correspondent covering extremism in Germany, the rise of Germany's new right. It's on YouTube, on the PBS Frontline website. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thanks for your time, David. Great to be here.
You too. And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.